Question 31, notice the question asks this: why is he called Christ, that is anointed? Notice the answer given to us in the Heidelberg Catechism: because he is ordained of God the Father and anointed with the Holy Ghost to be our chief prophet and teacher, who has fully revealed to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption. So in other words, what the Catechism is declaring and making plain for us is that what we need to know for our redemption is manifest in the Word of God. Christ has made it plain to us. He is our chief prophet and teacher. Notice that a prophet is one who declares the Word of God. And what Jesus did is he came and expressly declared the words that he heard from his Father. This is what Jesus had said. He has declared to us the way of salvation. He has declared to us that he is the anointed of God, that he is the Christ, the Messiah, the one in the Old Testament that was prophesied to come. And if you read the Old Testament, you realize that it was God that said he would come and to redeem his people. So Jesus, in saying that he is the Christ, the Messiah, is simply declaring that he is God in flesh. He is God incarnate. That he is God come tabernacle among his people. This is what was prophesied in the Old Covenant. I don't think people realize that much these days in response to the deity of Jesus Christ, that he is God in the flesh. It is always prophesied in the Old Covenant that God was the one who would come to save his people. And Jesus said that he is the Savior and there is no other. And the Old Testament says the same thing. That there is one God, there is no other, and that God is a Savior. For Jesus to declare himself to be the Savior is to say that he is one with God. He is God come in the flesh. And so he is our prophet, and also he has revealed to us the secret counsel of God concerning our redemption, and our only high priest. Notice the only high priest. There is no other. The high priest is the one who would make and bring the sacrifice and make the atonement for the people. Jesus not only brought the sacrifice, he was the sacrifice. He was the high priest, but at the same time, he was the scapegoat. He was the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world for his people. Understand that as Jesus Christ, he is the priest that represents us before God. And so, the only high priest we have, which is typified in all the priests of the Old Covenant, Jesus comes and fulfills all the work that all the high priests were doing in shadow form in the Old Covenant. Again, understanding the typification that goes on in the Old Covenant with the person and work of Jesus Christ. So we no longer have priests today simply because Jesus is our high priest. He has fulfilled all the obligations, all the foreshadows, all the symbols, all the signs, everything that the high priest in the Old Covenant represented, Christ has fulfilled. They were just types and shadows of that coming one, who by his one sacrifice of his body has redeemed us and ever lives to make intercession for us with the Father. That's our high priest. He sits at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for his people. The intercessory of Jesus Christ on our behalf, that we have hope before the true and living God. Why? Christ is our advocate. Christ pleads his case, his cause, his work, what he has done on our behalf. We are who we are, identified with Jesus Christ and accepted by the Father because of the work of the intercessor, Jesus Christ. What a blessed joy to know that Christ intercedes for us. That if left to ourselves, we would return to the muck and the mire. We would be just like the sow that would go into right back into the mud, or the dog that returns to his vomit. But with Christ interceding for us on our behalf, notice what the Catechism says here, intercession for us with the Father, and he's also our eternal King who defends and preserves us against all of our enemies. In other words, we will never fall away and we can never be snatched out of the hands of God because we have one sitting at the right hand of the Father who ever lives to intercede for his people on our behalf. You see, that blood of Christ covers us for eternity. The blood of Christ washes away our sins. The blood of Christ casts our sins as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against us again. In Christ, we are those who are united to him, and he is perfect in the sight of his heavenly Father. And that's our position, beloved, in Jesus Christ. He is the one who intercedes for us. Our King, Notice the King who governs us by His Word and Spirit. Let me ask you this. How are you in submitting to the Word of the Prophet, Priest, and King, Jesus Christ? You see, you don't demonstrate that you are a subject of the King but by submitting to His Word. There is no other way to demonstrate that you belong to the King, that He owns you, He rules over you, but by your submission to the truth. Jesus said, if you love Me, you'll obey My commandments. Why do you call Me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I command you? You see, as the King, He is the rightful owner of us. He has purchased us, both body and soul, to be His own. And we demonstrate that He is our King by bowing to His rule. Understand that. There are no people today who are in rebellion to the King and belong to His kingdom. If you are in rebellion to the King, you do not belong to the kingdom of light. You belong to the kingdom of darkness. It is that clear in Scripture. I know today the church doesn't like to make those hard and fast distinctions, but they're made in the Scriptures. And we need to say what God says, and we do no one any good by not saying what God has said. What God says, we are to declare from the housetops. And Christ is our King who rules over us. But notice, He governs us by His Word and Spirit and defends and preserves us in the redemption obtained for us. He has redeemed us. He has obtained us for His own. And He preserves us. And as the Apostle Paul said, that he was persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. We are preserved by our eternal King, Jesus Christ. Question 32, why are you called a Christian? Because by faith I'm a partaker. I am made a member of Christ and thus a partaker of His anointing, in order that I must confess His name, may present myself a living sacrifice of thankfulness to Him, with a free conscience fight against sin and the devil in this life, and hereafter in eternity reign with Him over all creatures. Notice the beginning of eternal life, the beginning of this life obtained for us in Jesus Christ. We declare Him as the prophet, priest, and king, but also as the people of God, we declare that this is the Word of God, and this is how we live our lives, and this is how we rule by the Word of God. Prophet, priest, and king, partaking of His anointing. Fathers in the home, this is how you are to rule. You are to declare God's Word to your children, to your household. Then you are to be one who lives that Word. Not do as I say and not as I do, but do as I say and do as I do. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, imitate Me as I imitate Christ. And so we are to declare it, we are to live it, and we are to be a king in our household in causing the subjects of Jesus Christ to live according to that Word. That's the prophet, priest, and king. That's why we are called a Christian. We partake of His anointing.